The lesson I want to share with you tonight, I've entitled, Can I Have Some Security? Now, we live in a world where we're searching for security. We want to make things as secure as we possibly can. We have Homeland Security that is working supposedly to try and make us as safe as possible. When we travel, we have the Transportation Security Administration, and their job is to try and make travel just as safe as it can be. We have Social Security that's supposed to give us some security as we grow older. We probably, many of us, have security systems in our homes. We have them on our cars. We have them on our phones. We want to try to be secure. But we live in a world where things so often cause us to fret, cause us to lack that sense of security. When it comes to economics, we would like for things to run smoothly, for there not to be an up and a down and all these valleys and so forth. And yet, who knows what the future holds when it comes to the economy? Or how about relationships with other nations? Who could have imagined a few years ago that a country like Russia would try and take over another country, at least parts of that country, and in the process even threaten the idea of using nuclear weapons? Well, you've got fanatics over in North Korea. Who knows what China is going to do with Taiwan? And so there's just uncertainty. We see crime around us. That bothers us as far as security goes. And so we're searching. Can I have a little security? Well, the Bible says, yes, we can. All, it may not affect the things that I mentioned a moment ago, at least as long as people fail to follow God's way. But for the Christian, for the child of God, there is security that we can have. And that's what I want to talk about for just the next few moments here. Some of this security that we are able to have in this life. And so we can begin by talking first of all about the security of reconciliation. When you look to the scriptures, we learn about this idea of being brought back into a right relationship with our God through Jesus Christ. And folks, that should give us a sense of security that no matter what happens in this life, I know that I am right with my God. I don't have to doubt that. I don't have to question that, because the promise of God is given unto me. When you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 17 and going on through verse 21, the Apostle Paul is going to write about this work of reconciliation. And I believe five different times in these verses, he's going to mention that idea of being reconciled or reconciliation. And it gives us great confidence. Here he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministration of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Here, Paul tells us that here is our work as ambassadors for Christ. Those apostles, they were God's spokesmen, Christ's spokesmen. And here is their message as they preach to the people, be ye reconciled to Christ, to God. And that reconciliation takes place, of course, when we obey the gospel. Our sins are taken away. And that right relationship that sin had destroyed is made right once more. In the book of Colossians, in chapter 1 and verse 21, Paul writes and says, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. We were enemies unto God. We were on the wrong side, separated from him. But now we're brought back to him, reconciled to him in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unprovable, unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Can you see the confidence that we can have? This security of reconciliation? This knowledge that we're able to have because of what Christ has done. We can know if we are in that right relationship with God. If I have obeyed his gospel, and notice verse 23, if ye continue in the faith. So if I am a Christian and I am continuing in the faith, I know that I am reconciled unto my God. There's nothing separating us because that barrier of sin has been removed. Folks, that gives us security. In a world that's searching for that everywhere, we find it in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there's not just the security of reconciliation. There is this security of cancellation. And there are two things that we can notice that the Bible speaks of as being canceled. First is the old covenant. Aren't you glad, at least I hope that you are, that we are not under that old covenant? Imagine how burdensome that could be. Imagine having to go to Jerusalem, men, three times a year. It didn't matter how far away you lived, three times. Can you imagine the burden of those sacrifices? Oh, you know, in our world, we don't even like, our kids don't even know where hamburger comes from. Don't know anything about slaughter, but will you sacrifice? You think, oh, the priest did. No, the priest did it. He helped you sacrifice that animal. The blood's on your hands, a life that is taken, and constantly a reminder of our shortcomings. Well, that system was done away with because of Christ. He fulfilled it and took it out of the way. In fact, here in Hebrews 7 and verse 18, we are told, for there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. This had to do with the idea of the office of a high priest. Jesus could not be high priest under that old system. He wasn't from the line of Aaron, wasn't from the tribe of Levi. But the changing of the high priesthood meant that there had to be a changing of the covenant. And here in this chapter, we're reminded of that change. And here we're told that there was a disannulling of that commandment, counseling of it. But not just of the old law, there is that cancellation of our debt. In 1 Peter, chapter 1 and verses 18 and 19, we're reminded, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed, yet bought back is the idea, with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, our debt of sin has been canceled, and that gives us security. There's no reminder of it anymore. The blood of bulls and goats under that old system could never bring about the remission of sins. But our debt has been paid by the precious blood of the Lamb. So there is this security that we have in cancellation as well. But then a third thing that we can notice is the security of supplication. Supplication is just another word for the idea of prayer. It is a beseeching. It is a pleading. It is a begging, a request that is made. And there's security in this great privilege that we have through Christ. Every Christian has the ear of God. For us as Christians, there's no such thing as an unanswered prayer. God hears everyone. I know that doesn't mean that the answer is always yes. What loving parent would always say yes to the request of a child? A four-year-old asks for a BB gun. Oh, okay. No. You know, you'll shoot your eye out. That's why you don't do that. Because we love them. And our God sometimes has to say no because he knows what is best. But he still has heard our prayer. And there is security in knowing that we can go to our God in prayer in every way. Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Our Lord wants us to come. Our Heavenly Father desires for us to come to Him in prayer. I believe one of the great reasons for prayer is for us. God knows what we have need of before we ask. In prayer, we're reminded of our dependence upon Him. And so we are to go to Him in prayer, approaching the throne of grace with courage, with boldness, because we have the ear of our Heavenly Father. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, we're told, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. That's our Lord, who ever lives as our intercessor. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ through him as our cares and our concerns are brought unto the Father. And even when we sin, we can use this avenue of prayer. In fact, we are instructed to use this avenue of prayer, to make confession of our sin and to pray to God for forgiveness. And in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, we're reminded that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we have security, the security of supplication. And then there's this fourth idea I'll share with you, and that is the security of verification. Something is verified, it's a guarantee. You know, it's a surety that is given. You might want a document to be verified so that you know that it's authentic, that it's real. Well, we have the security of verification. Jesus is the guarantee of the promises of God. He is the one that gives us the assurance of our salvation. When you look in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 22, again talking about the contrast between the old covenant and the new, the writer there tells us, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. He's the guarantee of it. For 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Folks, there's an assurance about the promise of God. He cannot lie. And so we can depend upon these promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There's a guarantee that is given to you and to me so that we can have this certainty, that this knowledge. That's why Paul's able to write this in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. How could Paul have such knowledge? Well, he trusted in the surety of Christ, the guarantee of Christ. And so we have the security of this verification. And then there's one more that I'll share with us, and that is we have the security of salvation. This wonderful promise that's given to you and to me through the Scriptures, through Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9 is going to tell us, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God wants for every person. And here, as he writes to his fellow Christians, the Apostle Paul is able to say, here's what's waiting for us. God has appointed us unto salvation. In 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 9, Peter is able to say, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Folks, that's security. As Christians, we can say, not because we're so good, that we're so righteous, but because of the promises that God has given, I can say, I know I'm in Christ. I know I have salvation. Now, again, I understand that salvation can be lost. If I don't continue in faithfulness to the Lord, I can lose my salvation. And the Bible warns about that. But as long as I continue to walk in the light, here's the promise that God has given. What security we have when it comes to our salvation. Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9, we're told, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. I think it's important to realize when you look at that verse, and as it talks about this security that we can have, this salvation that's found in Christ, remember who it's for. For those who will obey him. You know, that's almost a dirty word in our society. I never have, really, because I guess the preacher who taught me about doing weddings, when he gave me an example of what to say in those vows, didn't say that love, honor, and obey thing in there. And so I guess I've never really used it in a service. But Several times I've had women say to me, I don't want that in there. Well, it's certainly proper to put it in there because it's part of the Bible. But we don't like that word obey. My wife, she really struggles with people telling her what to do. You can ask her to do anything and she'll break her back doing it. But if you tell her, she'll fight you. We don't like that. But here he says, this salvation is for those who obey him. There's a surrender there to the will of God. I've sinned. I need a Savior. I will do what the Lord has told me to do. I will believe that he's the Son of God. And I will change my ways. I will repent of my sins. I'll confess him before men, and I will be immersed in water, baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. This eternal salvation and the security that comes with it is for those who will obey him. And so we live in a world where we struggle to find security. But my friends, the Christian can have it. The Christian does have it. And it's found in Christ. There is the security of reconciliation, of cancellation, of verification, and of supplication, and of salvation. I want to close by just sharing one more little story with you. It has to do with the building of the Golden Gate Bridge. The man who was the engineer and over the building of this marvel was a fellow by the name of Joseph Strauss. And early on in the construction of this bridge, he came up with the idea of putting a safety net underneath the bridge. It cost $130,000 to put that net under the bridge. It saved 19 lives. Folks, we don't have a safety net, but we have something better. We have the blood of Christ, and that's all the security that we need. Tonight, if you're here and you're not yet a child of God, haven't had your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus, we want to encourage you to take that step. If you're one who has obeyed but you've fallen away and you need to come back, we want to pray with you and for you. And so if you're subject in any way to the invitation of Christ, if you need the security that's found only in him, we encourage you to come as we stand and as we sing.